Brilliant from Kennedy. Couldn't resist the shot. That's gone in off the defender.
The chairman, you lose your little player. And it's in. It's a goal from Gilmour. Jimmy Gilmour has scored for Falkirk.
Finnegan's cross. Stephen Thompson. Falkirk have the lead after a quarter of an hour.
McKenzie slips. It goes straight to McGuffey. McGuffey shoots from his own half. And that is incredible.
He's taking them all on here. Catch him if you can. You can't. That is amazing. That is phenomenal. A touch of individual inspiration from Kevin McAllister.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
Hello and welcome once again to Falkirk Daft. We're still just the best team in the SPFL with now 26 undefeated, but it was a struggle getting there. We'll get into the game against Edinburgh in a bit. I am your host, John McAnally, and as ever, joined by the Ginger God of Pod, the one-man band in the main stand, Mr. Ross Vitality, king of the prawn sandwich, Ross Wayne, everyone.
Good evening, sir. That's getting longer and longer and longer.
I'm going to have to start thinking of more names for you. It was National Ginger Day. It was National Ginger Day this week. I believe it was. Aye, so congratulations to your good self.
Thank you very much indeed. Well, when's African Sunset Day though?
I don't know, mate. I don't know. Is that not like Hug a Ginger Day as well? I believe that exists.
That should be every day, John.
Yeah. Absolutely. How have you been, Ross?
Not too bad. Quiet weekend in the most, actually. Busy week. Last week, we not just the football, but work as well. So I needed a bit of a chilled weekend, which I got, other than watching a very, very struggling Falkirk side try and get something at Edinburgh.
We'll talk about the game in a bit. There's a lot to discuss and a lot to break down from that game. Looking forward to getting into it with you. I didn't see the game because I was in the midst of doing my tax return. That's how rock and roll I've been this weekend, everyone. Doing my tax return. Jesus. First time I've had to do one, like with the through the all the side stuff I do. But it's been a hell of a time doing that. So that was great fun. I have to say though, Ross, the McAnally clan has been brought into shame today. Absolute shame. Big shout out to all the middies at Falkirk Rugby Club. They are having a spectacular season. I think they've only been beaten once this season. It was a really tight game this afternoon. They were playing a few teams from Fife. So they're playing Kinross, Glenrothes, and of course Dunfermline, who I have to say Falkirk absolutely slaughtered. However, Dunfermline were short of players, and my boy Finlay was on the bench for Falkirk, and as they were short, they came and see if they could borrow some of Falkirk's players. Played for Dunfermline. I've got him up the road. I've given him a really good, I was like, get yourself in that bathroom and do not come out until you've absolutely, you're cleansed of the Dunfermline off you. So yes, my son played for Dunfermline Rugby Club this afternoon. So it's brought the family name into disgrace. I said, don't ever tell anyone that, right? Just keep it to yourself.
Just shared it with 2,000 people.
Oh, no! Damn it! So that was me. Ross, I've got a couple of shout-outs to Ross.
We do, yes. So massive shout-out to... this was a cracker. Danny Burns, a regular listener to the podcast.
I met Danny before Christmas.
You did at your do, didn't you? He got in touch via Twitter to share the Cove post-match interview, which was absolutely belter. Not only was it a very, very annoyed-looking Mr. Paul Hartley sharing his wisdom with, what was that guy for the BBC?
Richard Gordon.
Love that guy's voice, but I can't stand him now he works for Cove, to be honest. But so apart from seeing his very miserable face, Danny pointed out that somebody was whistling, I assume a Falkirk player or a staff member or a volunteer or something was whistling a very funny and expletive Falkirk tune when Paul Hartley was being interviewed, and it was just an absolute belter of a comment as well. Fantastic.
I know, go and check that out if you can. Absolutely brilliant. Shout out to our man in Texas, Jamie Douglas, who sent a... I was talking about Ladies' Day and how I might sneak in to Ladies' Day dressed as a woman just to meet Tom Lang. So Jamie will put it on our socials. Decide to Photoshop me onto a lady's, or David Walliams from Little Britain's body. So thanks, Jamie, for that. Really appreciate that. Ladies' Day actually sold out.
Yes, I saw that. And the I don't know if it was in part due to our shout out for them last week, but that's amazing that it sold out. But I believe they are still looking for raffle prizes and stuff. So if you've
it's all loads of money getting raised for Strathcaren Hospice on the day. So if you can donate a raffle prize, that would be brilliant. Get in touch with the club, and they'll get that sorted, because there's obviously on the day lots of stuff going on for Strathcaren. You've got an apology to make, Ross.
I do, Mr. McAnally. Yes, I do. So last week we obviously talked about the SPFL video.
Yeah, all behind the scenes, Paddy, the lot of them were in there, Andrew.
They were all getting interviewed, weren't they? And I commented on the fact that Keith Hogg, who's the sort of match day operations guy, I mentioned that he was retiring at the end of the season, but apparently that is not the case.
Right.
So I will retract that rumour, and it was a rumour that I was told a few months back, but it's obviously not the case. So Keith's not leaving, and we do wish him all the very best at his job. And he's got a deputy, I think that's out there as well. He's got a deputy in place now too. So long-term planning and short-term winning at the SPFL legislations that they need to have in place with these match day operations. So retraction for Keith there.
So just to repeat, everyone, Keith Hogg is not retiring. Despite what Ross said, Keith is not retired. He's going on. He is not retired. Just remember that, right? And he's got a deputy now as well. Do they get to wear like badges like the Sheriff Keith and the deputy? You know,
I don't think so. But maybe they should. Maybe they should have a badge.
I would suspect there will be a high-vis vest involved if you are in match day operations. We were talking about this the other day. I think, see if you had a high-vis vest, I think you could get in anywhere, or a high-vis jacket. I swear to God, I think if all you need is a high-vis vest in your life and you could be onto the pitch.
You could walk in anywhere, couldn't you?
You could be walking anywhere behind the scenes. All you need is a high-vis vest and a bit of gumption, I reckon, and you could get into anywhere.
Could we not get one to get us at the car park after full time?
That's a great shout, isn't it? Just stick on a high-vis vest, direct all the cars out one way, and then you drive it there. It's a great shout. Let's try that. I've got an apology to make as well while we're on apologies. Apparently, Calvin Miller doesn't have 7 wings. I think he's got 1. Someone pointed this out to me. I think it's on his Wikipedia. So any rumour that I've started out that Calvin Miller has 7 wings, just put that to bed, right? So apologies, Calvin.
We were just making shit up last week. Left, right, and
center. Well, it appears that way, accusing of Calvin of being an absolute shagger. So he might very well be one, but he doesn't have 7 wings, apparently. So sorry, Calvin.
That he knows of.
Right, don't you start that. We're in enough trouble already. Before we get ourselves into more trouble, we've got to say hello and a shout out to Haldane Construction, our sponsor on the podcast this season. Like I say, every week, they've really put loads of stuff into the club now, loads of money sponsoring the North Stand. You'll see their Russell Appy legend, their name next to that. They've really got involved. Peter and Marie's wife have just really bought into the club over the last couple of seasons, and we thank them for that. And we thank them for being on this podcast every week. They've been delivering construction and building projects through the Central Belt for 2 decades. Whatever the size or nature of your project, you can guaranteed that Peter and the team are going to have the highest possible professional quality and ethical construction standards, while also having a competitive edge, which basically means Peter will give you a good price, especially if you mention, right, that you listen to this podcast and that you're a Falkirk supporter. You say to Peter, listen, big man, I've heard the name Haldane Construction on Falkirk Daft. That's why I've got you in. And Peter will go, that's great, and he'll give you a good price. I'm pretty sure of that, right? So if you're looking to get anything done, a wee extension, a swimming pool, maybe you live in Kinnaird, maybe you're one of these big houses in Kinnaird, like, do you know what, I need a swimming pool. When you're driving about in your Tesla and you think, oh, I can't need a swimming pool. Peter will be able to do that for you. So get involved with Haldane Construction. You will get them at haldaneconstruction.co.uk. Quality and loyalty at the heart of their business. Get them on Insta, Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, or email them info@haldaneconstruction.co.uk. It doesn't feel that long since we've done a podcast, so there's not much in the way of news to get through. Big gig happening down at the Camelin Social Club. Now, let's put this to bed. Is it Camelin or Camelin? My dad tells me off for calling it Camelin, right? But he says Camelin.
No, it's Camelin.
That's what I would say. It's Camelin, isn't it?
Yeah, 100% Camelin.
Right, Camelin or Camelin, let us know. We might put a poll up on this because it needs to be settled, because I have heard, like, I say, Dad, you're just being posh by calling it Camelin. It's Camelin.
It does feel like he's what trying
does it, to... Here, now, time. Here's the acid test, though. What does it say on Scotrail on the train?
No, it does say Camelin.
It does say Camelin. There's the acid test right there.
See, years ago when the station first opened, though, do you not remember? There was a big hoo-ha because she said Camelon. And it was ridiculous. But it's now Camelin. That's now
right.
Camelin.
I thought it said Camelin, right? Well, I'll record that I'm getting the train through to Edinburgh from Larbert and to Bonnyrigg next week. I will record what gets said on ScotRail just so we can put that to bed then. Right, good. Okay. But there's a big gig going on there in the social club soon, Ross.
Yes, it's the, we mentioned it a couple of weeks back, but the FSS have got their football budget fundraiser that night of the 26th, Friday the 26th at the Camelin Social Club. As we said at the time, was the formerly the Labour Club. All the money raised from tickets and from the raffle and what have you will go to the football budget this year. And tickets are £15 available from Skiddle. And as we said, all the profit is going to the football budget. So please get along if you can. And you just, if you're looking for the specific link, we can share that as well. But it's also on the Falkirk Support Society social media pages, and I assume the website as well.
Yeah, glam rock tribute, Blockbusters playing. I love me a bit of glam. So I suspect that'll be T-Rex, Slade, Sweet, that kind of ilk. And it'll be big platform shoes and lots of spangles, so that'll be a cracking night. So get yourself on that on the 26th at the Camelin Social Club. Match sponsorship sold out, and there's only limited hospitality left for the rest of the season, Ross. Presumably, you're going to all of them.
No, I'm not, thankfully.
How many are you going to? How many have you got?
I can't, well, I'm not allowed to say because we've got a wee competition.
All right, that's true. That is true.
On our Twitter pages, but I have been to a few this year so far, and we've got a few left. Or a couple left, beg your pardon, for the rest of the season. So, but shout out, massive shout out to the commercial guys, as we've done before, John. It's just phenomenal. What is it? 5 sponsorships per game are all sold out, and hospitality is sold out for a couple of the games. I think it was TNS and Hamilton Accies. And there's only really limited spaces left at the other games, which you would assume if we are still in the position that we're in, heading towards sort of end of March, April, May time, then these games are going to sell out as well, aren't they?
Yeah. I think it was a worry when obviously Kieran left the club, because Kieran obviously did a lot of, you know, as a commercial manager, did loads for the club and was very good. But, you know, the two Grahams and Paddy, shout out to those guys because they've done an absolute great
smashed
job.
It.
And you can sponsor anything you want at the club, you know. Graham will take the shirt off your back quite easily. So, well done to the guys, and that's great news for that. Extra Bonnyrigg tickets are now sold out. There was an email, a wee tweet went out saying that there was tickets available today, but I believe they're gone now.
But yeah, I don't know how long it took for them to go. I'm not even sure why we got extra, to be honest. Maybe Bonnyrigg felt sorry for us and shoved another 100 towards us, I don't know, or maybe it was tickets that people hadn't collected, who knows. But yeah, those are now sold out. I noticed though that today, Sunday, Bonnyrigg had actually tweeted saying that they've now got a general sale of tickets, and they were very clever not to mention that it was for home fans only. So if you are looking to get to the game, Bonnyrigg are selling tickets for the game, and if I'm sure Falkirk fans are, they're not going to go through there and cause any bother. So just, if you are looking for a ticket and you're desperate to go, Bonnyrigg do still have some tickets left for sale.
Yeah, get on that. Say that the Junior Bairns has been in touch as well.
They have, yes. They are only 8 members away from 300, which is a phenomenal number. Sarah and the guys do an absolute brilliant job, as we talked about last podcast as well. But they're only 8 people away. eight members away, sorry, from 300. So you can still join and you can do that at the club shop. I think there might be a form on the website as well, but if otherwise, get down to the club shop. And I believe there's a, as there always is, there's a like a welcome gift for the kids as well. And I don't know if the mascot slots are all filled for between now and the end of the season, but if you're a mascot, if you're a junior bear, you can potentially become a mascot as well. Which
so is there an age limit on joining the junior bears?
Do you know, there is. I think it's 14 from memory. I could be wrong, but I think it's 14.
Oh, yeah. Good. Only a few years out as well, Ross. Only
just a few. Yeah, just a few.
And that mascot... oh, well, never mind. Shout out to John McGlynn, got manager of the month, made it the hat trick for him. That's the third time he's had manager of the month this season, and it almost came back to bite on his arse yesterday, as well as these manager of the month awards tend to do, but we'll get into that. So well done to John on that. Well, we talk about the match then yesterday?
Yeah, let's do it, buddy. Let's do it.
Yeah, so Edinburgh City 2, Falkirk 2. Now, that is a scoreline I did not think I would be reading out before, like prior to the game, and also halfway through the game, I didn't think I'd be reading out that scoreline. So it was a strange old game. Let's kick off with Fat Ross, that six changes were made to the side. Now, I think he talked pre-match that changes would be made. I did not expect six changes.
No, I thought maybe three max, if I'm being honest. Obviously, we knew about Ross McKeever. There was chat about Finn Yates having picked up a knock, and we wondered maybe what would happen with the centre-halves, because both Donaldson and Tamlang had picked up knocks versus Cove. So, yeah, I thought maybe three max, but he went rogue, and... not only six changes, but a wee formation change in the first half as well.
Just a bit mental. A bit mental. You know, we had Steve McGinn coming in, Jordan Allen, Alfie, Sean Mackey, Gary Oliver, and Ethan Ross coming in. Yep. And then switching to a formation which we haven't played this season, and called Donaldson out at right back.
Yeah, sort of right centre-half slash right back in the first half. Obviously, he went back to his normal position in the second, but an odd way to set up. That said, I know there's a lot of people slagging the formation off and how it went, because we were 2-0 down. We had a shitload of chances in the first half, John. Like, we could have and should have probably have scored two or three goals. And had that happened... I don't know if the formation change would have been as frowned upon as it was, but it didn't happen that way, and we were 2-0 down come half time.
Yeah, so, it certainly didn't work. Certainly did not work, the formation change. Out of the, like, obviously he's made all those changes, right? We forgot to obviously say that Ryan Shanley was also there in there as well.
And true, yes, that's very true. He started the game. Yeah, I actually thought Ryan Shanley did really well.
Yeah, and so then you're making changes. You wouldn't change all those players and the formation at the same time if you're the manager, surely.
Well, listen, John knows what he's doing, and I know there was loads of people last night in social media and today, obviously. Not quite agreeing with that statement, but what a job he's done for us this year. And I'm going to talk about this season individually, because we know what happened last year. But in terms of this season, he's obviously not made too many mistakes, made no mistakes in terms of recruitment. Yeah. But in terms of match selection, it just, yeah. And he's held his hands up, hasn't he?
We'll hear that. We probably won't hear it, but he did come out in the interview afterwards, and that's all I was looking for last night, to be honest with you, was him to come out and hold his hands up. And he did that, in fairness. He did make excuses to say, oh, well, it was only from set pieces that we lost the goals. But still, I mean, we could have, if we had, say, right, so let me, you're John McGlynn prior to Edinburgh. What changes would you have made from the side that beat Cove? Well, McKeever would have been out. So McKeever's definitely out.
McKeever would have been out, but a Shanley, as we saw on Tuesday night, Shanley put himself about. He's not a short guy. He's a tall lad. He got stuck in. His distribution was good. So I would have had Shanley replacing McKeever. If Finn Yates did have a knock and wasn't fully fit, I would have had Bisland, who's actually a right back.
Yes,
right.
That's
so that would have been two. Unless there was other enforced changes, though. I don't know if I would have made too many more.
I think I'd be quite happy with Agyeman and Ross coming in for Miller and Morrison. I think I would be quite happy with that, right? So if you'd had that, to be fair, that's a change I would have made. If Finn's picked up and out, you put Bisland in at right back, right? You don't change the formation, you put Bisland in, unless he doesn't trust Bisland. But anytime I've seen Bisland on the park, he showed up all right. You know what I mean? He obviously wanted to get Stephen McGinn on the park, right? I understand that. He's a club captain. He's come back from injury. He's most, you know, our biggest professional at the club, right? I understand that. But I don't think I would have made that change, you know, if you're making those other changes. Agyeman and Rossman were good players and can come in and do a job. And then up front, like you say, we've talked about Jordan Allen only working as a two. It certainly didn't look like it worked yesterday.
Well, it feels like he almost changed the formation just so he could get, so he could start.
But why not go 4-4-2? What is wrong with a 4-4-2 rather than this 3-5-2 that he's went for?
I felt sorry for Shanley because I thought he would have started, and I thought he would have after Tuesday night, especially if McKeever wasn't fit, I would have started Shanley. But then there was calls. You could have argued that Gary Oliver has scored a couple of goals.
Yeah.
So you can see why he was maybe given the nod. Neither Gary nor Jordan Allen, though, can play the lone striker role that McKeever has done so well and that Shanley appears to be able to do as well. So it was just an odd changes.
I have to say, feel sorry for the six players that came on because they're going to take the brunt of it, right? But they're then thrown into like a side that's been winning and winning, right? And a formation change. So I don't think you can lay a massive amount, but we're bringing in six guys that have been sitting on the bench, you know, and then putting them in a different formation. If you made the three changes or three or potentially four, but six is just mental.
Six felt
too much. Yeah, too many.
And they didn't all play poorly. Like I felt kind of sorry for I thought Gary Oliver did okay. And I thought I can understand why the change was made at halftime, but I felt sorry for him because I thought he did okay in the first half. As much as I like him, Stephen McGinn should not be starting another Falkirk game. He's a great player and a great guy to have around, but he's not a starter. I'd be bringing him on as a sub.
Good. I think a good player, like a good example, is just bringing him on to shut down a game. Do you know what I mean? When you're a couple of goals up, you bring on Stephen McGinn. You know he's not going to lose the ball. He's going to keep a hold of it. But yeah, I agree. I think the legs just aren't there to play in that midfield.
I thought Ethan Ross did well yesterday. He put himself about. He was involved in an awful lot of the good stuff that was happening offensively as well. But Alfie struggled. Jordan Allen struggled. Stephen McGinn struggled.
Sean Mackey?
Tough to say. He's not done anything to merit a start next week, though, John. He really hasn't. And that's the frustration. Is these guys, do you know all they've done? Is they've picked a team for Bonnie Rigg. They've made the manager's decision really easily.
Yeah. Do you think any of those players that started yesterday will have a chance of, well, any of the six that came, would you have got a chance to start?
Potentially, Ethan Ross could well start. Maybe Gary Oliver, but that would be it for me. I don't think the other four are going to be anywhere near the start lineup.
Interesting. I mean, like you said, we've got to talk about the kickoff being delayed till 3:30 because they hadn't filled the barriers up with water. They should have, like you said, Ross, they should have went to Dunfermline. They obviously had a hose that could easily have filled up anything with water. Yes.
Yeah, as the rumour goes about them.
I know, that's it. That's not the first time that's happened at Dunfermline, suspiciously, as well. They've had an issue with their undersoil heating, but we won't spread any rumours on that because we're in enough trouble as it is. But you know, put back to 3:30, probably didn't help matters with, but and then you come in, you see all those changes. Well, a couple of chances that we maybe should have scored from. You know, we had the chance from Ross, it's flashed across, Alfie couldn't control it. You know, Lang's header was cleared off the line, so it could have been one or two up. But then Edinburgh get a goal from a corner that shouldn't have been a corner.
Yeah, no, that was a frustration because it wasn't a corner. Their big lad who I think they signed, I forget his name, is it Fye or Fee or something?
Yeah.
I think they might have just got him from Bonnyrigg, actually. He quite clearly headed the ball out. Now, nothing shocks me with this ref, though, because this is the ref from...
The Kelty
game.
Yeah.
And as you know, that guy was an absolute shocker that day. Yeah. And he's kind of had another shocker there in that scenario. So the there's obviously a lot of chatter about the goal that we've lost. Defensively, it doesn't look great. When you watch it back, not only, obviously, is the keeper... In my opinion, he's fouled. Not everybody agrees with that. It looks
he wasn't fouled. Don't be too protective.
Keepers get an awful lot of protection, right? And it's annoying when they do, but the boy has literally shoved him into the goal. Anyway, that's my moan for that. But he's not punched the ball away. The defence hasn't been quick enough to react to the ball bouncing off the bar either. And
it's just falling at the boy's feet, you know. It's an unlucky goal to lose just because the way it kind of obviously lands on the bar and then just falls at the boy's feet. But again, like you say, Ross, why is the guy standing there with no one round him? Why have we not reacted quicker? And maybe Long should have done better.
I just think it was a calamity, John, between the defence and not being able to punch it away. As I say, I've got my doubts about the potential foul on the keeper, but the fact is it wasn't given. The balls came off and he's had a free header into the back of the net. And I just think the defence, what was the defence doing? Ball watching, they basically were. They really were.
Spencer looked quite good on the corners, and we got a chance not long after Edinburgh got their goal, an hour header from Tam Lang, who seemed to be all over the place yesterday, by the way, but again cleared off the line again. I mean, if it goes 1-1, it's an entirely different game, but then...
He had a couple of first half headers off the line, John, and it could have been so, so different. I know we didn't play overly well, but genuinely we had, what, 5-6 real strong chances to score in that first half. And had we even taken one of them, I think the outcome of the game would have been very different.
Yeah. And then they get another set piece, free kick. Not winning, you know, the ball goes into the box, headed away. Just not winning that second ball was criminal for me. It was really poor defending. And then the ball goes back in and it's, you know, head into the back of the net, you know.
Yeah, another calamity, which is probably the best word to describe both goals. Just a calamity at the back. We didn't have a strong enough header on the first one. As you said, it's then headed back in, and literally, it's not as if the boy's like absolutely hammered us in. He's literally flicked it with his top of his head, and it's been enough to beat three or four defenders plus Sam Long. Just really, really poor goals that we've lost yesterday.
I know. Do you put that down to the formation? Surely at corners and free kicks, the formation shouldn't affect how we set up at those.
You wouldn't have thought so, but then the personnel's different. So can you put it down to personnel? For me, yes, you probably can. And because you've got, granted, you would have three out there, the four regular defenders in there, but see it set pieces, John. It's not just the defence that's back there. You've got every midfielder, and normally you'll have the forward players as well. Maybe bar one, he'll stay up. And it was, for me, probably personnel related. And you heard Tam Lang interviewed after the game. He was absolutely raging. And he was probably the best of the defence yesterday. If not, him and Calvin Miller are probably two standout players from our team, to be honest.
I mean, you were talking about personnel, and obviously McGoohan saw that it was an issue with personnel with five Falkirk changes at half-time. Finn Yates, Leon McCann, Aidan Nesbitt, Cal Miller and Ryan Shanley came on for McGinn, Mackey, Allen, Aguman and Gary Oliver, pretty much all the guys that were brought in. How, though, has he not brought on Callum Morrison, our top goal scorer. That, for me, was mental.
Yep, I think we were all expecting Callum Morrison on. All the subs that came on had a part to play, right? So
yeah,
it made sense that Nesbitt came on, Yates and what have you. I just think there's an opportunity there that Morrison could have got on as well. But then it just shows how wrong the first half, because I think even John McGlynn said that in his post-match interview. Did he not say something like, if I could have brought Callum on and made six subs, he would have done? So it just shows you that how wrong the formation and the personnel were.
I mean, Ethan Ross, like we said, had a decent game, so I guess that he figured, well, Ethan's actually playing all right, so I'll keep Ethan there. And I'll have to sacrifice, you know,
someone,
because I'm sure he would have brought on. But Ethan Ross had a decent first half, so I guess that's why Ethan Ross and Callum got sacrificed. But to not bring on your top goal scorer seems a bit mental to me. In saying that, though, Calvin Miller comes on, like, and he's undoubtedly one of the best players in this league, Calvin Miller.
100%, mate. 100%. He saved us again yesterday. Definitely saved us again.
I mean, he was involved in a lot of them were involved straight away. Shanley was involved in a couple of chances when Nesbitt, who really should have scored when Shanley won the ball down the wing and put in, Nesbitt should have been scoring that. Miller had a good cross, but Ethan Ross put a header over the bar as well. But it was, you know, a goal which came from Calvin Miller, from great work again from him. Finn Yeats, I mean, here you go. This is Finn Yeats involved, flicked on by Ryan Shanley. Miller at the back post, cuts inside and rifles it past the keeper, 2-1.
Yeah, as easy as that as well. It was, what, 2-1 pass, a flick on, and there's your goal. Massively deserved it, because we'd hammered them in the first half. We'd had those early couple of chances in the second half as well. So it was no more than we deserved. And if I'm being honest, at that point, I actually thought we'd get another goal quite quickly. And we certainly had enough chances to do so.
Yeah, and if we had got a goal quickly, I think we'd have went on to win the match. But, I mean, in fairness, I heard Michael McKindo's Edinburgh for interview. They held or quite organised and worked really, really hard.
They did. It was a different Edinburgh City as well. They've obviously signed an absolute shitload of players in the last fortnight.
They've had to, yeah.
I mean, that doesn't make a lot of sense, though, does it? Like, I know why they've had to, because obviously they've not been able to honour the contracts of the players that they've had to let go. Yet, on the other hand, they can then fill their squad with all these loanees and stuff who I assume they're getting for either nothing or far reduced money. Anyway, that's my moan about that. But they're a completely different animal to what Edinburgh City had been. So, and I watched his interview after the game as well. By the sounds of it, they've obviously got huge aspirations of staying up now, which I think everybody thought would be a real...
I thought they were done. I thought they were done, but they've brought in quite young boys. I mean, that Edinburgh side's very young when you see it. But obviously, the where these boys are coming from, Hearts, Aberdeen, they're coming with decent pedigree, you know.
Yeah, no, 100%. And by the sounds of it, they may well take points off a lot of other teams between now and May. So it's maybe not a one-off that we've suffered, but. Again, that unknown quantity as to who we were facing yesterday, that for me should have been another reason why we didn't tinker too much.
Yeah.
This wasn't Edinburgh who got 5 goals against them in the first half against Athens. This was a completely different team.
Yeah, you know, you're right. You're absolutely right. Like you say, it was chance after chance after chance following that goal. You know, Miller firing high. We had Lang again, just involved in everything. Like, he had a shot which is saved by the keeper. The keeper had a great game as well, to be fair. Kept the volley from Spencer that he kept out as well. Hitting the bar, which Tam Lang hit the bar. Ethan Ross had the cross, which hit the bar. It was definitely a cross, so are we agreed on that?
I would think so, because it was quite far out, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But you're right, John. The keeper had the game of his life. I had no idea whether he got man of the match from Edinburgh City
He should have.
Without him, we could have again scored 10 goals yesterday. We really could have, and probably should have with the chances that we had. But yeah, he was in the right place at the right time, as you said, blocking Lang's shot. We've hit the bar a couple of times. We had one cleared off the line from memory as well. So yeah, we did everything bar score, and it obviously went late on before we actually got it.
I mean, and you're just thinking, oh, I'm done. I've got something I'm going to hold my hand up and admit, Ross. I put £2 on Edinburgh before the game.
Right, we need to have a chat, because one of your lads played for Dunfermline today, and now you're betting against us. What's happening?
No, I know. Do you know what? I know Falkirk. We all know Falkirk, and I thought at 50-1, do you know what? If we get beat today, it's £2, and I'll win £100, and that'll be me. That'll maybe soften the blow.
That money would have been tainted, Mr. McAnally.
It would have been tainted. And I would have put it back into the club in some way, shape, or form. But I would just like, I saw it 51 and I went, like you say, we didn't know what we were facing. And I just had this awful feeling. I woke up in the morning and I had this awful, awful feeling that this is the day we're going to get beat, because it's just what Falkirk do. And at 2-1, I thought, oh Christ, oh well, the unbeaten run's gone. I'm going to mope about all night, but at least I have £100 in my back pocket. but no. It wasn't to be, and I was jumping about that place when I saw that. Silky called Donaldson, beating a man three times, driving into the box, held back outside the box, and on the line goes down, penalty. It was never a penalty.
Do you agree it was a foul, though? He's got his arm around him. It's a foul.
I don't know. Even if it's a foul, it was never a penalty. Never a penalty. I love the fact that I have seen so many people, Hamilton supporters. Some guy that does the social media for Steny was going on about it. He's a Dunfermline supporter, and he does the social media for Steny. He's got it in for Falkirk. He put it up saying, "This is a disgrace." Da da da. We also saw the official Edinburgh City account tweeting about it, calling us cheats, I believe. Let me just quote, because the post was quickly deleted, but don't worry, an eagle-eyed Bairns fan managed to screen grab it before it got deleted. So let me just tell you, if you just in case you haven't seen it, what the official Edinburgh City account had to say about the penalty. It said, "Laugh all you want. You had all the added time you wanted to score and had to cheat to do so. Pathetic." That, ladies and gentlemen, is the official Edinburgh City FC account calling Falkirk cheats. Just saying.
Wow. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
It wasn't a penalty, though. I don't think Cole cheated. I don't think Cole cheated, but it wasn't a penalty.
I think it was a foul, and I think it obviously starts outside the box, right? But the guy doesn't learn his lesson, and he continues to hold Big Cole shut. And listen, see, Big Cole, the one thing he has done is he's made the ref make a decision. Now, this ref is a shocker, right? And he's been pretty bad for us across a couple of games already this season. I'm not saying he owed us anything, but the fact that he got, if it wasn't a pen and it was outside the box and what have you, well, do you know what we're due? We should have had about 8 Stonewall penalties last season. We got Cole. And
let's face fact, the other, I mean, it's not really equivalent, but they had a corner. They scored their goal from a corner that was.
So the first goal was never a corner, and they scored from it. So, all's fair, so the Edinburgh admin, but that's pretty poor. And I'm not sure why the Steny admin's getting involved either.
Oh, because he's Dunfermline support. I saw someone that Logan Back, who we had on this show, he worked at Kelty and stuff like that, and he was even getting involved about, get back in your corner, boys, it's nothing to do with you. Honestly, it really did. It's like people piling on top right. Now, we could easily have made a compilation of the amount of times we should have a penalty and didn't have one. Yeah. These things even themselves out, as they say. Yeah. But all these other supporters jumping on it, from Hamilton supporters to so-called Steny supporters to Dunfermline supporters.
And did the Steny boy not actually tag in the SFA?
Yeah! Get your silly fuck, mate.
Hard as hell, innit?
Go and enjoy. I mean, the listen, the Warriors are absolutely flying at the moment. Go and enjoy Steny.
Hopefully that ends soon as well. Can't be dealing with that.
Oh, see, I've got a soft spot for the Warriors. Jeez. You're hard man to please today, Ross. I'm saying not a penalty. You're saying a penalty. I think the Falkirk support split on this, I'll be honest with you. I've seen a few people saying it was a penalty. I'm saying not. You're saying it was, aye. Fuck it. We've scored it anyway. Well done, Calvin Miller.
You did. Beautiful finish.
It was so much confusing about who scored it. Different people were saying different things. Some people were saying Ethan Ross. Some people were saying Calvin Miller. It was, let's just say it was Calvin.
It was Calvin. The issue with Edinburgh, John, as we know, because we've been there plenty of times, is shocking for watching football, because you're so far away from everything. You're at eye level as well, and the floodlights. I hate to just be moaning about them, but the floodlights are shit as well.
It was terrible, and then you saw that in the highlights. It's like Jesus, you can hardly see the ball.
In the nicest possible way, I hope that's the last time we ever have to play Edinburgh City at Meadowbank. I really do. I hope so.
I know. My fingers crossed. Let's see what John McGlynn had to say after that.
John, that was a bit of a wild game out there today. I don't think many people expected that. Bit of a roller coaster ride of a match. I don't know how you go about kind of summarising that one.
To summarise the game, early in the game we had opportunities to score almost immediately. Ethan Ross has wiggled through and the goalie's made a great save from him. We've had balls cleared off the line from a corner kick. I'm sure there's a ball cleared off the line, and we had other opportunities early in the game. We were very much on top. From a couple of set plays, we've not defended them well enough. However, one's freakish in that the ball actually hits off the bar. It's kind of like floated in for the corner kick, hits the bar, and basically, from that point of view, it can land anywhere. It's landed right for the lad to put the ball in from a yard out. So there's probably a little bit of bad luck to an extent with regards to that. And then a free kick. From a free kick, the ball's played in, we clear it, and when it's played back in again, you know, there's a lad standing on his own to head it in. Tom's initially went to header it, he's actually headered it, but in his momentum, he's actually got deeper, which meant that when the ball came back in, we've got two lads playing on one side, so it was nowhere near offside. But he's standing on his own. So we failed to defend two set plays, and that was all we had to defend. So it's a bit disappointing that we didn't defend the two set plays. In the second half, you know, it was all us. And I thought Calvin Miller showed great composure with his goal. He showed great composure and stuck it away. The goalkeeper thereafter had another two or three really, really good saves, particularly from Tom Lang and from Brad Spencer. And there'll be others that I can't quite remember right now. We've had 25 shots at goal. Can't quite remember how many on target, you know, but Edinburgh had two shots on target and scored two goals. And it was looking like maybe going to be one of the days. However, the guys kept on going. They showed strong mentality. And then calls in a bit of magic, gets brought down, we get a penalty kick, and fair play to Calvin stepping up, bit of pressure, last kick of the ball, and sticking it away. So we come away with a draw, we keep our unbeaten record intact, but ultimately we've dropped 2 points, you know. We made changes, we made six changes. I felt that the squad that we've got would be capable of coming here and being able to adapt. Obviously, we changed the shape as well. We put in two strikers, played a 3-4-1-2. And again, so I've got to take responsibility for that. You know, we've changed it. When it comes to set plays, you know, it doesn't come down to, you know, 4-2-3-1, 4-3-3, 3-5-2, you know, any formation you want. We have to defend set plays. We didn't, and we got punished. And where we've been no losing goals at all, you know. Again, Sam's had a hell of a lot to do. He's had next to nothing to do. You know, their goalkeeper's much more a busier goalkeeper. So, lessons to be learnt. Every day's a school day. Yeah, disappointing to drop 2 points, but guys showed great mentality and thought Brad Spencer, what a performance he put on. So courageous, going into challenges at times where he was going to come at second best, but he was getting to the ball regardless. And I thought he really, really drove the team on in the second half in particular, throughout the whole game, but in the second half in particular. And Calvin coming on down the left-hand side, the combination with Leon, and we managed to get good crosses in. And Calvin's came in at the back post from a ball coming in from the other side, and he takes it really well. So, as I say, take responsibility for the first half. We've changed it. We could easily have come away there with 3 points at the same time. We've come away narrowly getting 1 point. So, lessons to be learnt.
Yep, and let's hope he has learnt his lesson from that, I think. Every day is a school day, Mr. McGlynn, and yes, I think you've probably learnt your lesson. 10 lines for you and a Punnyekki. Signed Punnyekki. Did you ever get a signed Punnyekki, Ross?
No, if I'm being honest, but the yellow, that was the old yellow sheets on it.
What a good boy you are. I only ever had one signed Punnyekki.
What did you do?
Oh, we'll get into that.
My mum worked at the school, so I could get
into that. Oh, you were yeah. You had to keep it the straight and narrow. Fair enough. He's come up, he's held his hands up. And actually, we have to say, in Michael McKindle's post-match interview as well, he had no issues with the penalty either.
No, because it was a penalty.
football
people know.
But no, that's all I wanted to hear from John McGlynn. All I wanted to hear, I mean, he was still making excuses like formation doesn't matter with the set pieces. I think there's maybe something in it, but you know what?
I agree with it. I do agree with it. Like we said that earlier, didn't we? That the fact that it's probably down to the personnel that you lose goals at set pieces, it's probably not a formation because, as you said too, like whether you're 3 men up front or 1 man up front, you know what you're doing at a corner. It should be the same.
Should have.
So, yeah.
Yeah, but he came out, he did what I wanted him to do. He held up his hand, and that point could be really important when you look at it. We're now, you know, we've dropped 2 points on Hamilton now, so we're now 9 points clear. They've got a game in hand, which they play against Stirling next Saturday. Stirling actually got a really surprised result up at Montrose. They've beaten them 1-0. So you hope that momentum will keep them going. They've brought in a few players, brought in Kieran Offord from St Mirren as well, who we all know is a decent player who left Edinburgh, obviously. So, you know, fingers crossed they can get something. I mean, obviously Hamilton managed to get a win over Cove, who look like they've come right off it. They even had the man sent off Hamilton, still managed to win 2-0. But like you say, if let's just say they get they win the game in hand, so it's 6 points then. Just having that extra point, and you know, we're certainly goal difference wise, we're miles ahead of them at the moment. It could be really, really important to have that point. So, like you say, they fought to the end, they maintained the unbeaten run. That's what you've got to take away from it. 26 games unbeaten now, long may it continue. So that's it. But let's see what you guys had to say about the game. Donald, our man with the stats, has been in touch. He says, we clearly have a major problem with our manager, John McGlynn. It's been brought to my attention and needs addressing sooner rather than later. For the third post-match interview in a row, our manager has been filmed wearing his hat at a squint angle. This is clearly unacceptable and needs sorting before next Saturday. And before the whole thing gets out of hand, maybe the interview could bring a mirror for our leader to check all is good before the start. Come on, you Bairns, the Chorley Bairns. Thank you, Donald.
I assumed it was to do with the sponsorship because he's got sponsorship at that side, doesn't he?
That's true. That is true.
He might end up wearing it side on. Like,
I think he should wear it backwards. Like, that would be. Imagine McGlynn turns up and he's got his cap on backwards. I would, do that. Definitely do that.
Craig says McGlynn is the Falkirk Dafty this week. Cost us 2 points with his team selection, which was ludicrous, to make 6 changes to a winning team and showed a lack of respect to Edinburgh. furious after today. It really could and might cost us. Hopefully it proves Jordan Allen isn't good enough.
Oh, interesting. I'm not furious. I'm just disappointed. It's like something your mom would say. I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed.
No, that's interesting you've said that, because I said that to somebody last night when I was talking about it. I was like, I'm not angry with him, but I'm just really disappointed.
That's true. Gordon says, McGuinn brought in 60 experienced pros. They should be looking at their performance. Nothing like good enough. All they have done is pick the manager's team for them now. That's true. I mean, like we've said, and like I think John McGuinn said in his pre-match interview, we've got players there that should be in the championship on our bench. Yeah. Sean Mackey, Jordan Allen, Stephen McGinn, Gary Law, all these players that came in are of a class and standard above what our opponents were yesterday, and they should, you know, it doesn't matter what formation they get played in, there should be enough on that part to win games, especially against the bottom of the league team.
Totally agree, and I agree with Gordon, obviously, as I mentioned earlier, but I genuinely do think they've made the manager's team selection next week against Bonnybrook even easier, because I imagine a lot of the players who started yesterday that were brought on probably thought, oh, I might get a couple of games here because we've got Edinburgh and we've got Bonnyrigg. But I wouldn't be changing too much from our normal starting 11 now next week against Bonnyrigg, unless we have to.
No, I think McKeever will be hit and miss. I think you go back to the 4-3-3 and you put Shanley in there.
Shanley up front, yeah. Yeah, just.
I mean, the only other thing you could say, Ethan Ross, maybe. But then you bring Morrison straight back in next week.
That's true. Yeah, Ethan Ross did well, but I think I would feel bad for the regular starting 11. It's really important that we get through this cup tie.
I think you might see back to the normal system, back to the normal personnel. And I think the only change you might see is Ryan Shanley coming in. We'll talk about the Edinburgh game just in a minute.
We will. William says, nearly paid the price for underestimating Edinburgh. We had 25 attempts at goal, so definitely didn't deserve to lose, but definitely 2 points have been thrown away.
Ian thought it would be interesting when I saw the lineup. It was, but how I hoped. I know that many like McGinn, but I just don't think he fits in our system anymore. Handy to have to slow a game down when we're winning, but no longer a starter. Yeah, we've pretty much said that, didn't we?
Yeah, I would agree with that. Daryl says, unbeaten run intact by a Bohir. By all means, freshen up the team and give some game time, but 6 changes is excessive to the point where we disrespected Edinburgh City. The time for wholesale change is when the league is done and dusted, not when our opponents can be hopeful of catching us up.
That is true. I mean, this is Hamilton are in a position pretty much where we were last season, and they'll be looking at the results. I mean, it would have been a real kick in the balls for them to see that last minute go in, but long may that continue. But we can't give them any kind of hope. We really can't give them any kind of hope, and that's just the hope they were looking for yesterday. Andrew says, silly 2 points dropped, however the unbeaten run continues. Well, Derek says, very poor from John McGuinn and very poor from the players brought in. However, let's not dwell on this. 26 unbeaten. I'm confident enough to say that won't happen again this season. We move on since 1876.
Robert, today was our biggest drama of the season. Folk will lose themselves over it, but I reckon it's proof we are back. Come on, the Bells.
Yeah, you know what, before, I couldn't believe the messages I was getting, like, what's happening, you know, when we're 2-0 down, I'm like, I don't know. And finally, Craig says, Hamilton fans sitting with a chubby right now, up until the 96th minute there, we will not be stopped. I've not heard the expression of chubby in a long time. Right, okay, and that leads us. Well, by the way, no guest pundit this week. We're just the time we're recording, and we've struggled to get someone on this week, so apologies for that. Normal service will be resumed after Bonnyrigg Rose, but it just leaves it up to me and Ross to decide the Falkirk Daft rated and Falkirk Dafty.
Daft rated. I'm going to give it to Calvin Miller. He was very composed with his 2 finishes, and there were two massively important goals as well, John. I think it has to be him.
Right, well, I'll leave that to you because I didn't obviously see the full game, only the highlights. So Calvin Miller for Daft Rated and the Dafty.
I hate to say it, but I agree with, I can't remember who said it in the comments, but yeah, I think it was Craig, Mr. McGlynn, for his starting 11. It just didn't work.
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely think so. I think John McGuinn, I think he picked up a couple of times last season, but this is the first time he's picked it up this season, obviously. 26 unbeaten, no, long may it continue. Let's go again against Bonnyrigg Rovers. And if you want to be a pundit on the show, we'd love to have you on. Drop us a DM on Twitter or Facebook, or you can email us, pundit@falkirkdaft.co.uk.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
Right, Scottish Cup time. Here we go. Love this time of year. Love the fourth round of Scottish Cup.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's just a wee adventure, isn't it? A wee adventure, and you get to play a team you don't normally play. And we are at Bonnyrigg Rovers this weekend. Both me and you are heading to the game. Ross likes a plan, right? Ross had this group chat set up for weeks now. Ross has been down to the stadium, got the tickets. He loves being organised and having a plan. What train are we on Saturday, Ross?
I don't have the time to hand, but I know we are getting the train through at mid-morning, aren't we?
And then are we getting the train to Esk Bank from Waverley? Or are we jumping on the bus?
Yep, no, that's right. No. Yeah, you can get the train almost straight to Bonnyrigg, to Esk Bank, as you said. And then for anyone that is going to do similar, you do need to get a taxi don't know if it's a bus, but you do need to get a taxi or it's a 25-minute walk. So we'll definitely be taxiing it, I think.
Oh, you lazy so-and-so. 25.
Feel free to walk. I will definitely meet you in the pub if you're walking. The weather forecast looks absolutely horrific.
It's a good point. It'll be a very touch and go if it's on, because looking at the forecast for this week, it's meant to be like icy as hell this week. So I'll definitely want to keep an eye on, especially with the conditions out that way. It'll be a good day out. It'll be a cracking wee day out. Looking forward to it. Where are we going? Are we going to the Social Cup, did you say, Ross?
I think so. The recommendation I got given from a Bonnyrigg fan was that the Social Club at the ground's pretty good, pretty big as well. Or there's a pub just outside the ground, and you've just, I can't remember what he called it now, but I can tell you now because I've got it to hand somewhere. What did he call it? No, I think I've not got it to hand, John, actually, beg your pardon.
I can't imagine there's that many pubs in Bonnyrigg.
I can't imagine there's too many. But for Bairns fans, I think that with 600-700 Falkirk fans through, pubs will be pretty busy.
Yeah. Train beers?
Absolutely. Yep.
Excellent.
Yep. Scottish Cup, isn't it?
Scottish Cup. A couple of ex-Bairns actually play for Bonnyrigg, a couple of goalkeepers, Paddy Martin and Michael Andrews.
Yeah, Paddy Martin's their number one just now, I think. And we know him fairly well from short spell at Urk. I don't think he played too many times for us, I don't think. But
he played against Darvel in the Cup, didn't he?
No, that would have been PJ Morrison that played that tie. But yeah, Paddy Martin's there, Michael Andrews, and I don't know how, he's probably not a young lad now, but Rhys Peggy, it's youngster.
Wow.
From back in the day, no idea what age the boy is now, but he's probably 30-something.
Yeah, I was just like, when I saw Rhys Peggy, I was like, Jesus, wow, that's a blast for the past there. So, did Rhys ever play any games for us?
I think he might have got on the bench a couple of times, but I don't remember too many first team starts. I think it was that about the time Jay Fulton and stuff like that. Yeah. I think he'd been about then.
Late 20s, early 30s now, Rhys. Yeah. There you go. It's first ever meeting in the Scottish Cup between us and Bonnyrigg. We've had a couple of meetings with them before. 1-3-0 in the summer. That was in a friendly. We played them in the League Cup as well in 2022. It was 1-1 and we won in penalties 4-2.
We did. Yes, I wasn't at the friendly in the summer, but I was at the League Cup tie. It was a tight game, actually. It was one of those games where we had an awful lot of the ball, we had an awful lot of chances, just couldn't put the ball in the damn net. I think it was a Callum Morrison free kick.
It was a cracker.
From memory, but it's a small, tidy wee ground, quite exposed though. So if it is windy and stuff on Saturday, I think it's going to definitely be a leveler, John, and the pitch is famously not great at Bonnyrigg. I've been interested in 90 minutes. I just want us to get a couple of goals, get through, and then see how it goes.
Yeah, they picked up a point against Dumbarton yesterday. He's currently sitting fifth in League Two at the moment. Seem to be a bit up and down in terms of their form, drawing, losing, winning. You would hope for a Falkirk win, because I think, like you say, this is a really important competition for Falkirk in terms of revenue. We saw obviously last year the run to semi-final and effectively kept the cup afloat. If rumours be true, that run into semi-final with the TV money and everything that came with it pretty much kept Falkirk going and is obviously fed into the budget this season as well. So it's really important, you know, that we get past Bonnie Rigrose and in the hat for the next round and, you know, looking for either progression or a draw against one of the bigger teams.
I think that would be my thought process as well. We're unlikely to win the cup, right? We want to get out of this league. The league's the priority. Yeah. We've got the Challenge Cup semi-final coming up as well. Personally, I would quite like to win that, as in the full tournament. Aye. I think we're good enough, and it's another honour that we could. It's within our grasp. Whereas the Scottish Cup's a bit different. I know we made the semis last year and stuff, but we had
a really easy run in at the semis.
Well, it wasn't easy, but it was a kind draw, wasn't it?
It was a very kind draw into the semis last year.
Yeah. So I think you want to make a bit of money. You don't want to lose though. Like, and it's
about momentum. That's the thing. You want momentum, you know. And like, we underestimated. I think John McGuinn underestimated Edinburgh at the weekend, like we said about the changes made. He said lessons learned. Let's hope he learns the lessons. And this week, I think you bring in the big boys back into the side, and you put Ryan Shanley. If Ross McKeever isn't going to make it this weekend, you put Ryan Shanley in as that number nine. And he seemed to show up well against Edinburgh.
Indeed. Yeah, absolutely.
So, I love the fact that Bonnie Rigg have got a guy called Smart Osador. But his first name is Smart Osador. There we go. He plays for them. He's got four goals for them this season. Smart player. There's going to be a lot of jokes about Smart.
There is. I hadn't noticed his name, but I had noticed that the top scorer boy, was it Martin Yuke or something? He's actually a defender, though, and he seems to be their...
He's got nine goals for them this season.
So, is that maybe set-piece related, as in he's a big fella and he gets his head on quite a bit? I don't know. You would think
that'll be it. But, yeah, I mean, it's going to be good fun. We all love a wee Scottish... I'm sure there's going to be a lot of the ultras going through as well. I'm sure there'll be a lot of noise made. I'm expecting flares as well in a ground like that. So it should be a good fun. I'm really looking forward to it. It'll be probably freezing. Luckily, I've got, as I showed Ross, for my Christmas, I've got these little hand heaters, which I'm so old now. My wife goes, that'll keep your hands warm at the football. I'll be charging those bad boys up for Saturday, I'll tell you right now. So looking forward to it on Saturday. Hopefully we'll see you there as well. Ross, score prediction.
If we turn up, John, and we do what we can do, I expect some goals. So I'm going to say 4-0, Burns. I know I was way off with my Edinburgh one, but I think had we approached that in the right manner with the right team, we would have, with the chances that we saw as well, we would have dicked Edinburgh. So I'm going to say 4-0.
I'll go a bit more conservative. I'll say 2-0, and hopefully up the road with and then in the hat to the next round. So, 2-0, good day out, looking forward to see you there, Bonnie Rigrose, this Saturday.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
And that is it, ladies and gentlemen, for this week's Falkirk Daft. Thank you so much for listening and continuing to support the podcast. We really do appreciate it. It's great when people come up to us at the games and say, listen, love listening to the podcast. We really appreciate that as well. We started this podcast as just two Falkirk supporters thinking there's nothing, the supporters don't have a podcast. So we might as well fill the gap with our absolute ramblings and nonsense. So thank you very much for listening. You get us on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us, please do that if you don't do already, for our banter on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. I had a great night of, I had a couple of beers, a couple of glasses of wine last night, and had just great fun trolling all those people who were putting up clips of, this is shocking, I can't believe this is a penalty, and I just stuck up gifs of wrestlers.
I was always saying, people know when it's you and people know when it's me.
It's just me putting up gifs of John Cena and The Undertaker and Stone Cold Steve Austin just in reply to these people. I did say, there was a Dunfermline supporters that said, oh, this is shocking or whatever. So I went right into his profile and he'd retweeted something to win a football shirt, and I said, oh, it's so embarrassing. Good luck in winning your football shirt, mate. Thumbs up. I do like a bit of sarcasm as well. So, yeah, much fun to be had last night. So do follow us on Twitter for all that banter. I'm sure it's keep you amused for hours on end. Subscribe to our YouTube. Watch us on YouTube if you are listening. You can see us as well. And you can get merch, merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. I've seen a few sales go through the old merch site recently, so you can get mugs, you can get t-shirts, you can get, we should post this up more so people can see what you can get. So it's all in the description, by the way. Check out below, you can check out your full range of merch you can get in a Falkirk Daft style in that link below, so do that. And join the Discord channel as well. It's always good chat. It was all kicking off yesterday during the game. I was kind of watching it because there's loads of bands from like right around the world. The fact we had a band from Charlotte getting in touch with us in their states. I will just find out the name because we've got people listen mentally all over the world to this podcast, and let me just find out, to give him a shout out and give him the credit he deserves, the name of the band that is in Charlotte. It is, no, I can't find him now. Where is he? I can't find him. I will look for it and give a shout on the next podcast because he got in touch with us. And can I just say, we didn't mention it, my rant about the pavements and walkways around the stadium has went down very well, and lots of people are on the train and been tweeting the council, come on, let's keep it going, because I don't know how long this work's going to be, and it is a potential death trap, as Lynn Falswood used to say on Watchdog. Let's keep the campaign. Open up the paths. Open up the paths. Forget anything else. Open up the paths. Open up. I'll catch on eventually. Yes, please continue the campaign to footpaths around the stadium, because someone is going to have an accident, and it'll all be on your head, Falkirk Council, if you're listening. Mark my words. Anyway. Enough about that. We'll see you at Bonnie Rig Rose this Saturday. And until that time, Ross.
Expect the unexpected, everybody. Mind the bells.